Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Good morning, 610 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news, and yeah, that's not music that anybody uses except for one person. And all day today, it is certainly worth our time to give the due to somebody who completely transformed the media landscape in this country. Somebody without whom, the Republican takeover of the 90s. The presidency of George W. Bush, certainly the presidency of Donald Trump, would never have happened without Rush Limbaugh. Conservatives have felt like they had a voice in this country because of Rush Limbaugh for 30 years. People have listened to him, talked about him, loved him, hated him, wished they could be him, wished they could have his success, were confounded by the fact that he had his success. And I will say this, there are many ways in which I disagree deeply with Rush Limbaugh, not on his commitment to conservative principles. That's, no problem. I'm in line with all of that. To me, the issue was always tone, divisiveness, building common cause, what I would call sort of Christian values, where we disagreed on some of that kind of stuff, which is why I do my show very differently than he does his or did his. Nevertheless, please don't misunderstand my criticism or my desire to do it differently than he did it. Please don't misunderstand that for thinking that, I don't think he was a fantastic entertainer and an incredibly important figure in the movement that I'm a part of. I said this earlier, and I'll say it again all day. I wouldn't have this job. This job wouldn't exist. There are, hundreds of people around the country doing things like what I do that wouldn't have jobs if it weren't for Rush Limbaugh. AM radio wouldn't exist anymore if it weren't for Rush. I mean, you might have religious programming. That'd be it. You wouldn't have talk radio. People like, Michael Savage and Glenn Beck and Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and you name it. These are people, Brian Kilmeade, wouldn't have, Dave Ramsey, totally different concept for what Dave Ramsey does, but Dave Ramsey wouldn't have had a platform if Rush Limbaugh hadn't saved all the stations that he did when he created a show that nobody thought was going to work. Nobody thought you could do this. Nobody thought you could go on the air for 3 hours, tell your opinions, and have no interviews, no expert guests, not be Larry King. Nobody thought it could work. In the middle of the day, come on, that can't possibly work. Well, we'll try it a little bit. Phenomenal success, right? Now, not immediately. It's actually one of these great American triumph stories of all the things that he didn't do all that well at, trying to be popular and do radio early on and just kind of having a little bit of success here, a little bit of success there, but not much, and doing sports, working for the Royals eventually in the front office, I guess. And I forget what he did with the Royals, but it was something it wasn't, I don't think it was on the air. And then he went out west and just made it work. And again, what he did was rescued the platform from irrelevance, because every day the people who loved to listen to him would tune in, and you'd have the Rush listening rooms all over the country. And then the people who realized this was happening and hated him, they tuned in because they loved to hate him. He was the original, I hate to say it this way, but it's kind of true, the original Omarosa. He was the original Trump. Clearly, President Trump learned a lot of his presentation and thinking about what works in American politics from Rush Limbaugh. Clearly. and succeeded with it. Because people love to love him and love to hate him. And the one thing that he did that I still think his... This is the thing that I think his critics never were willing to grasp, both about Trump and about Limbaugh, and about talk radio in general. They just, they can't fathom how it could be popular. Like, on the one hand, they recognize that there's millions of people with whom that message and presentation style resonate. But not really, you know, like they're just misguided or something. But what Rush did was he said what people were thinking. And more than that, he said what they wish they were thinking. You know, he either gave voice to what people already saw in a culture that was veering so heavily to the left in terms of mainstream media, education, journalism, broadcast television. It was going so far to the left with all this crazy, you know, post-hippie PC culture nonsense. And he'd call it out and make fun of it and get attacked for it. But it was what loads of people believed. He was a champion for what people were secretly thinking and afraid to say. And that worked. And that gave them boldness and confidence. And he articulated the things that conservatives believed and, you know, adamantly defended and articulated conservatism. And again, rescued a platform that today is thriving because of what he did. I don't have to agree with everything about him or about his, and not all good, by the way, influence on American culture. You know, I believe in building consensus and finding, you know, respecting and understanding your enemies. He believed in savagely, you know, satirizing them and attacking them and criticizing them. Two very different approaches, okay? But nevertheless, I absolutely believe that I would be, I don't know what I would be doing, but it wouldn't be talk radio, because talk radio wouldn't exist if it weren't for Rush Limbaugh. 8:16 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Did receive a report that on Blue Angel Parkway and Muldoon Road, the light is flashing over there. Do treat that as a four-way stop, depending on which direction you're going. If it's yellow, proceed with caution. If it's red, as a four-way stop. Now, if you're taking a look at Avalon Boulevard, I'm getting a notice that there is a minor accident as you're going northbound right before you get onto I-10, the turn to get you onto I-10. Now, no delays appear to be coming from this, but it's just what's popping up on my report. Now, Garson Point Bridge is checking in clear along with Gulf Breeze Parkway and Navarre Parkway and I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
They blanked out all kinds of major news sites and sources, including governmental official news sources, even things from the government about, you know, coronavirus and wildfires that they're having a problem with right now. Because the background of all this, basically people woke up, checked their news feed, and on those things, it was just blank. The background is that Australia has been trying to get Facebook and other social media content providers to somehow compensate journalists for profiting off of the product that they create. And Facebook said, yeah, I can do that. So we just won't carry your content. Wow. I am suspicious that they picked the wrong fight here. But we'll see how this plays out. You know, I think what Facebook and other social media companies might sometime in the near future start to discover, I hope they discover, is they're not quite as powerful as they thought. You know, you might have a pretty big gang, but when the cops come, they come to win. And you might think that you're pretty powerful as a tech company, but when the government comes, You know, but we'll see. We'll see whether the governments have power to really stand up to them, to really use their power to tell Facebook and other social media companies, hey, guess what? No, we're not going to play this game. 6:20 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
New research indicating coronavirus vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna can be effective against new variants. New England Journal of Medicine reporting both companies took part in separate studies with different medical research groups, and while the antibody level did decrease, the doses were still effective. against the strains. Longtime talk radio host Rush Limbaugh has died at the age of 70, died yesterday after a year-long battle with advanced lung cancer, a diagnosis he revealed was terminal just months ago.
It's tough to realize that the days where I do not think I'm under a death sentence are over. Now, we all are, is the point. We all know that we're going to die at some point, but when you have a terminal disease diagnosis that has a time frame to it, then that puts a different psychological and even physical awareness.
Limbaugh, widely considered one of the most influential media members of the past 50 years.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Gas prices, get ready for them to go up because of that big winter storm knocking out the power in Texas. All those refineries offline. AAA says a gallon of unleaded went up to $2.54 on average yesterday, expected to go up another 10 or 20 cents in the coming days.
I've noticed, but see, it was rising before that. That's the part that, I mean, this may be related, but it was rising since Biden took office, you know, and maybe a little bit even before that. Obviously, some people surmise that it was connected to the Keystone pipeline being canceled by President Biden, but this doesn't help. You know, you can't have a bunch of refineries offline and suddenly, you know, gas is not going to get a whole lot cheaper. All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. 622 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. What else is going on here? Okay. Not to paraphrase Rush Limbaugh, but see, I told you so. We are now going to get word today from FDOT. The head of FDOT is coming to Milton. And as Senator Broxson said yesterday at Channel 3, you know, the head of FDOT doesn't show up in town unless there's some kind of an announcement to make. And the announcement is not going to be that the bridge is going to be done sooner, right? I mean, that's not. So the real question is going to be, what's the nature of the bad news going to be? And nobody's sure. You know, South Santa Rosa News broke it yesterday and their interpretation was that the things were going to be delayed and that it might be down to just one lane each direction when it does open, you know, delayed a week or two. Channel 3 had their own interpretation. Nobody knows for sure at this point. I'll tell you I've never believed the time frame. I know everybody has said the time frame is accurate, and I know they've said they were committed to it, but you remember when they started talking about going to 24/7 pile driving, 7 days a week pile driving, and bringing on extra crews? What did I say? Read between the lines. They're behind. That's the only way to interpret that, is that they're behind. Well, no, it's going to be okay. And it always seemed ambitious to me anyway. Now, they may hit it, and I hope they do. I hope I'm wrong. I've said that consistently. I hope when it first came out that it was going to be 6 months and they announced it 6 months. I think the announcement was on I'd have to do the math to confirm. But it was like, you know, it was October 1st. I think when they announced the 6 months. And so we all said, oh, April Fool's Day is the target. Neat. Right. That just seemed. And we've been saying June is what I thought. If it gets to be June, if it gets to be July, if the bridge is done by June, I would have considered that a win. And I still do. I'll definitely consider it a win if it's done by the end of March, but I'm less and less optimistic about that, but we'll see. Now, I suspect the nature of it is going to be that they're going to open it with limited traffic, you know, inside lanes maybe only. What happens if Three Mile Bridge only has one lane in each direction? I mean, it's going to be a parking lot, right? All the traffic that goes across Three Mile Bridge at rush hour, which is already bad. I mean, do you remember when Three Mile Bridge was functioning? It was bad, right? In rush hour? And now to have it open, if it does, if this turns out to be the case, if it opens with just one lane in each direction, oy, oy, oy. That's just, But that would alleviate at least some of the pressure on Garcon Point Bridge and 87, so maybe it makes everything a little bit better. Yeah, I don't know. I hope that's not the. I hope their announcement is going to be, hey, everything's fine. Everything's on track. We're going to be open early, middle of March. You got a month. We'll see. 437-1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, starting over at Blue Angel Parkway, I did receive a report that over at Muldoon Road that the lights are flashing over there, so do use caution as you're proceeding in that direction. Now, traveling along Avalon Boulevard, I have a notice over here that there's an accident over in front of the Waffle House Red Roof Inn going northbound near I-10. No real delays coming from that, though, so just and like I mentioned for Blue Angel, just use caution when over there. And Gulf Blue Angel, not Blue Angel either, Garcon Point Bridge is what is checking in clear, along with Gulf Breeze Parkway and Navarre Parkway. Also seeing no delays along Highway 87. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, I'm always telling you about Southeast Air Shuttle and how they can take care of you for business or weekend getaways and take you to these regional locations, get you there fast, fly how you want, when you want, not when you're told. Okay, that's all true. That's all true. But one thing that you might not have thought of is, you know, you're always looking for a creative date night, right? Especially one that's really memorable, one that's really intimate and romantic. Well, here's my suggestion to you. Book a champagne sunset beach tour with Southeast Air Shuttle. And the way this works is, you know, you go over to the other side of the airport, okay, in the general aviation side, and you walk in, and Captain Eric will take you and your sweetie into the plane. You sit in the back, champagne, go up, cruise along the coast. Perfect view of the sunset. In fact, right now, you know, when it's cold out, you get these amazing views of the sunset, right? So go up, have a romantic, you know, hour or two. What a memory, right? What a great date night. Well, you can find out more and book your champagne sunset beach tour with Southeast Air Shuttle, and you can find out more at flysoutheast.com. Reparations may be, listen, nothing about this is surprising. They don't care about the Mexico City policy or the Hyde limitations on abortion funding, that they're considering the prospect of reparations, that they're pushing for a $15 an hour minimum wage. I mean, none of this is surprising. This is 100% within the wheelhouse of what Joe Biden believes in. So...
You know more because you listen to Dave Ramsey, 1 till 4 p.m. weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
See, Janice Gilley is the Escambia County Administrator, and, you know, she plays her own DJ, which is fine. A lot of our guests do. And it's always something different. And all right. Half the time, Janice, whatever you pick.
Black History Month.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. And but I didn't know I needed it until you asked for it. So that's fantastic. I love it. Well, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Okay, I have a question that is not related to anything that's on the agenda, but it's something that has been nagging at me for a while. Back in 2014, after the ice storm, I vividly remember the reports that Escambia County had bought a snowplow. And ever since... there's been this kind of, I've never been quite sure. I've never seen it. I've never seen a picture. It always is kind of one of those things you joke about that, well, we bought a snowplow for Florida. Does Escambia County own a snowplow, a truck, a front plow, anything like that?
We do not. It's my understanding that FDOT has two snowplows in Chipley. So that's where I think there may have been one bought for the region. And so maybe it was told to you all that it could be utilized in Escambia County. But there are two apparently in Chipley.
And now this is like dedicated, that's all that thing does, or just that's the front like attachment to put on an otherwise truck that you'd use for other reasons, or do you know?
I do not know what it looks like.
Okay.
I've just been told that Chipley has two of them. Now, after looking at Texas these last several days, I think I'm very glad that Chipley has two of them in case we ever needed them. But, you know, what we do is we use fertilizer spreaders and a scambia to spread sand over the potentially icy areas,
right.
You know, as a starter.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in case there's an issue, obviously we can spread, or, you know, FDOT, I guess, can spread on the bridges or create traction or whatever. You know, for those of us who grew up in the north, this is all a bit amazing, you know, but still, that clarifies it. Okay. So FDOT did buy after the storm two of them and has them available, you know, for wherever they happen to be needed. So, okay. All right. That's fair enough.
Yeah. And I would not be surprised at all if we had ice or snow this year, because if you remember in the past year, not only have we had the COVID the whole time, but we had wildfires, we had earthquakes, we had hurricanes. We've had some of everything. And so I think the only thing we haven't had has been a snow and ice storm.
Why would you say that out loud? Why on earth would you say that out loud? No, that is not right. Oh, man. Yeah. I remember when in 2014, when we first moved here, and it was ice storm in January, and then it was the flood in April, of course. And I think that same year you had Frozen had come out, and then there was a water disaster movie had come out, and we're like, no. I don't like any of this. Well, let's talk about stuff that's on the agenda. We've got the my computer has been frozen for like a half hour, so I can't get into it. Is it a day meeting or a night meeting this morning? Is it this morning or this afternoon?
It's a day. It's a day meeting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's this morning,
it's a day
and
meeting.
We're going to have our first discussion in a voting situation of changing the alcohol ordinance. Is that right?
Yes. That'll be on, and we're looking at going, you know, 6 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. every day. That way it's uniform in all areas of the county.
Okay, which would be, again, you know, to eliminate it eliminates the special exception for Perdido and Pensacola Beach by making the whole county operate under those same rules 7 days a week, which I'm all in favor of. I mean, you know, I completely, and I think it'll make the county money, you know, because people won't have to be crossing, you know, county lines in order to get their alcohol. You're also going to be talking about...
Well, it certainly eliminates alcohol confusion.
that's so true. You're also, and I'm still only about halfway through the, let's just say, interesting meeting that y'all had last week about OLF-8, but you're going to have a discussion today about DPZ, is that right?
We're going to continue the conversation about OLF-8. You know, there is a contract for a master plan on that property that the board had let a year and a half or so ago, I guess. And then we also have the MOU with Navy Federal related to that master plan. So I think that the board will continue to talk about what they want to do with that property. And, you know, we'll see where they go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. And I understand in your position that you're representing five commissioners, not a one of which agrees with the other one about anything, as far as I can tell, related to this property. Or, you know, the overlap is like 10%. So it's a very difficult situation to get them to come to an agreement about what to do going forward with this, as I know you well know. The Bellevue Library, is that also on the agenda today?
It is. So this is a project that I believe the board in 2018 bought the property. It's a great location. And we're just now to the point after all of the design. We've put out for the bids. We had six firms bid on the construction.
Can I pause you for just a second? Because for people who may not know, I just want to make sure they have it in their head. They can picture it. It's that gray former bank building on Mobile Highway south of the fairgrounds on the west side.
Yes, sir. It was a Wells Fargo.
Yeah, very good. Go ahead.
And
sorry.
So it's about a 2,500 square foot building, the current building, but to make it into an appropriate library, it takes about 10,000 more square feet. So it's about a 12,500 square foot facility in the end. And it'll have a children's area. It'll have like a community area.
Now I know this predates you, okay, but we bought a 2,500 square foot building. We bought a one bedroom house in order to have a six-bedroom house, in order to have a 12,500-square-foot facility. I'm really? I thought it was ready to go. I thought we could just move in.
So what happens is there is a drive-through, and then there's also the vault, which, you know, moving a vault is probably not something that you can do easily. And I think we have found out it's not easy to do. So you still have to add on the appropriate space for your books and for your, like I said, a child development area and a community, you know, area. So that's where we are in terms of that project moving forward. It's about a $3.8 million construction project.
Has that price changed over time, or did we know that from the beginning? Pardon me for not knowing.
No, absolutely. Unfortunately, when the project was first brought forward, I think the staff did a back of napkin estimate from what I can tell, because they only said $1.8 million, and it's now up to $3.8 million.
Mm-hmm. So it's doubled.
For construction.
So it's doubled in price. More than doubled.
Yeah, close to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, close to it. But I mean, this is the first time we've gotten the bids back from the contractors for the project. So,
well, what do we have in it already? I mean, because at that kind of a price shift, you start to ask other questions. Do you know how much we've got into the project already?
I do not know how much they purchased the project for.
Okay.
I do not know that.
I would have to
go back and look at the... Yeah, our team since I've been here has been focused on trying to make sure that they work with the library folks and, you know, their needs, what they think they need in terms of being able to provide a really good library for that part of the community. So that's what our team's been doing, is working with them on design. We have cut back on some things. Like, one of the things they wanted was 100 parking spaces, which obviously creates a lot of drainage issues. So we were able to kind of reduce some of those things that have kind of, you know, reduced the cost to some extent and the design. So there have been some things where we've been able to kind of pull back on, but, you know, we have to let the library folks tell us what they think it takes to operate a really solid library for that part of the community.
Sure. And look, I understand that construction costs have changed dramatically in the last couple of years. That's understandable. But,
yep.
You know, it's and I know, you know, there have been other things y'all have been occupied with a little bit. So I always pictured the vault as being kind of a cool thing. Like, that would be the kids' space. You know, there could be fun stuff that you can do in there. That'd be my theory. But anyway, I'm not a design guy. Hey, we're talking to Janice Gilley. She is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, hang on for just a second. Let me get a quick traffic on the fives with Davis Allen.
And taking a look at Avalon Boulevard, did receive a report of a minor accident southbound. It was a fender bender that's causing some delays if you're heading towards I-10, but it's actually the accident happened in front of the Circle K, which is just south of I-10. Now taking a look at Garcon Point Bridge northbound, I also received another report that it's moving at a little bit slower pace, around 35 miles per hour, as you're trying to get to Avalon Boulevard. But I-10 and I-110 still checking and clear, and the front gate of Ineos Pensacola is showing delays backed up to the Shell station trying to get onto the main gate. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Very good, Davis. Now back to Janice Gilley. Janice, where are we at on the fire chief search? I thought we were almost done with this, but I guess we've started over or something?
Yes, we did. We went through all the applicants, and while we had some very fine applicants, we just didn't find the exact right fit that I was looking for this department. And so we have put the ad back out across the country. We did put the full hiring range on there in terms of salary. And then we are keeping the position open until filled. We do have a preferred response date of the 1st of March, I believe, or within the first week of March, and then we'll start reviewing applications at that time.
Okay. All right. Very good. And I know you got a lot of other stuff on the discussion today, like appointments to... go ahead.
Yeah, appointments to Children's Trust. And I did want to mention one other thing. We're going to be honoring H.K. Matthews this morning.
Oh, great.
You know, he's like 94, 95. And we did a video that we showed at the last board meeting with Reverend Powell and H.K. Matthews. And we're going to show that video again this morning. You know, their commitment to civil rights and their commitment to our community is just absolutely unbelievable, and it's an amazing, they're both amazing stories, and so we're going to do that again this morning, so when he comes in to get his proclamation.
Oh,
and I just want to mention that it's on our website if you'd also like to go watch the video, but it's, their stories are pretty amazing, and their commitment to our community and the civil rights movement in general in our community are pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think that's fantastic and a wonderful thing to do, obviously, during Black History Month. So last thing is, you sometimes have questions for me. Do you have a question for me today?
Yeah, I have two.
Oh,
so the first
one is,
do you remember? Do you remember where you were and what you were doing the first time you heard Rush Limbaugh?
Oh, I think I was driving in the car in Champaign, where I was at school at the University of Illinois, because I vividly remember having him on the radio and listening to him while driving my first car that I owned in Champaign. That's what I remember. I don't know if that's the first time I had heard him, but that's the earliest that I can remember anything connected to him. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, it was around November. It was around Veterans Day. It was like November 12th or 13th, 1990. I had taken a new job in Tallahassee, and I had never really listened other than Don Parker and other places in Pensacola. I had never really listened to talk radio except the local ones, you know, Luke McCoy, Don Parker. And I happened to catch this station and heard this guy, and I was like, man, this guy's really bloviating. He has a lot to say. But he was a bit addictive, you know, and I did listen to him for several years in the 90s. But the second question is this. Perseverance lands today. Will you be watching?
Oh, you know, I have not been tracking this story at all. I feel bad that I haven't been. Now that you have told me the news, I probably will. So thanks for the notice.
Yeah, they're going to do the countdown. Yeah, they're going to do the countdown starting, I think, around 2 o'clock. So it'll be kind of cool. I mean, you know, I was thinking about how when we watched the landing out in the Gulf.
Right.
It was kind of interesting.
And
just
we needed
to
watch
and listen
to
the narration.
At the time, that was very much a break from the COVID that we all needed for that at least few moments.
Yes.
So very cool. Well, thanks for letting me. I honestly didn't even realize that was happening today. So Janice Gilley.
Yep, today's landing day.
She's our Escambia County Administrator. Janice, have a great meeting this morning. I hope it's very productive and fast. That's always the best kind of meeting. Thanks so much for the time, and thanks for everything you do. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Y'all take care. Be safe.
All right. Absolutely. 651 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Per gallon of gas, 257. Wow, that's a jump. That's like 10 cents up in the day. Florida, 253. Lee Vining, California's 489. Universal City, Texas, $1.84. In Navarre this morning, 243 east at the Walmart, 236 west of the Walmart, 256 up 87. Gulf Breeze, 237 and proper, 238, I think, in Tiger Point, 246 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, 239 at Milton at the Raceway before Avalon, 239 at the Walmart, and 249 as you're coming out of Pace over into Pensacola, where it's 245 everywhere, 9 Mile and on US 29. And then coming in from the southwest side, it's 243 at the TNC on Navy or 249 at the Navy Exchange. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with your lowest out-the-door price and your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines.
There's
Mark.
Still no warmth for the freezing today in the Lone Star State. Harris County, home to Houston, has seen more than 300 cases of carbon monoxide poisoning this week as people start bringing things like barbecue pits indoors to try and keep warm. COVID-19 vaccine may protect people from spreading the virus. Dr. Anthony Fauci saying more research is needed, but it looks like people who are vaccinated carry a lower viral load. And NASA says all systems are go for their most sophisticated rover to land on Mars later today. The Perseverance rover is expected to land on the red planet just before 3 this afternoon.
Very good, Mark. Thanks so much for the update. Now, Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, quick check of the Australian Open. Jen Brady, the American, moving on to the finals. And another one who's half American, half Japanese, but Naomi Osaka took down Serena Williams in straight sets. And in the men's bracket, Novak Djokovic in straight sets also advancing to the finals. He is going to be taking on... never mind. The men's bracket so much larger. Can't seem to find it. It's going to be between Daniil Medvedev and Stefanos Tsitsipas. That was my best guess on
that
name.
That's good enough for me. Better than I could do.
Also, Fernando Tatis Jr. signing a mega deal with the San Diego Padres. 14 years, $340 million.
Wow.
Mere pocket change. And Tim Tebow retires from sports. I'm Davis Allen with your quick shot of sports.
Very good.
And also taking a look at now your traffic on the fives. The front gate of NES Pensacola, we are seeing delays backed up almost now to Sunset Avenue, so be ready to pack your patience. Take the back gate if you would prefer. Also, Garcon Point Bridge going northbound, moving a little slower. And Avalon Boulevard, there was a minor accident that occurred southbound, but it has since cleared up. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Future News Davis. What's going to be the news today about the Three Mile Bridge?
They are going to be delayed.
Yeah, it's going to be delayed and it's going to be one lane in each direction, at least at some point on that bridge. And neither of those is going to be good news. Who's going to fill the void left by Rush Limbaugh?
You know, that's honestly hard to say. I don't know.
The Donald Trump show?
I'm not saying that. Just a thought.
Will we get the new alcohol ordinance in Escambia County?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Will they actually finish the Bellevue Library?
They will.
Ah, it's on the chopping block.
News, talk, traffic, and weather for Northwest Florida. News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, and Pensacola.